Hello, and welcome to Mr. Marr's History Podcast. Google Mr. Marr History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History. In today's podcast, we will discuss the civil war that divided Scotland during the Wars of Independence. We will consider the major battles which took place during it and what brought it to an end, and we will also consider how events after the Civil War let Robert the Bruce take control of Scotland and led up to the Battle of Bannockburn. It can be argued that Scotland's Civil War started the very moment that Robert the Bruce stabbed and killed John Comyn. From then, the nation was divided between the supporters of each man. Many of Comyn's supporters and family were very influential, and they played a major part in King Edward's court. This gave them the chance to seek revenge on Bruce, including using significant power and resources of England. Bruce's defeats at Methven in June 1306 and Dalry in August 1306 were not simply down to the strength of England's army. In both cases, other Scots made up a large part of the English forces. The attack at Dalry was led by John MacDougall of Argyll, who was Comyn's cousin. The struggles that Bruce faced led to him leaving Scotland to an unknown location, possibly the West Coast Islands or possibly Ireland. However, after he was given the nickname King Hob, meaning King Nobody, legend has it that Bruce was inspired by a spider to return to Scotland, which he did in February 1307. Bruce captured Turnberry Castle, where he had been born, in February 1307, and he used the tenants there to form an army. However, that same month, two of his brothers, Thomas and Alexander, were captured by the English and eventually executed. Bruce planned a guerrilla campaign against the English. His forces defeated an English army patrol at Glentruil in April 1307, and the following month, in May 1307, Bruce would once again come face to face with De Valence, the person he had fought at Methven. The two sides met at Loudon Hill in Ayrshire in May 1307, at a site where William Wallace had himself once fought. Valence had a much stronger army, but Bruce's choice of battlefield, which limited the size of area in which Valence could fight, gave the Scots victory. More Scots then came to join Bruce's army. Bruce also had another huge boost to his campaign. King Edward was leading another army north to Scotland, but he died en route in July 1307. His son, Edward II, became the new King of England. Bruce now turned his attention to winning full control of Scotland, and this would mean defeating and controlling the supporters of John Comyn. In winter 1307 to 1308, Bruce travelled to the northeast of Scotland and he challenged the English forces. Bruce's army captured various Comyn supporting castles in early 1308, including Inverlochy, Urquhart, Inverness and Nairn. Again, Bruce's successes inspired even more Scots to join him. However, Bruce then became ill, and many of his men believed that he might die. Bruce's men had previously failed to take control of Elgin Castle. They then came under attack from the Earl of Buchan, although they were not destroyed, partly because of poor coordination between the English army and Comyn's backers. In May 1308, the final battle between Buchan and Bruce's men took place at Inverurie. Bruce left his sickbed to lead his men to victory, apparently sitting near a rock to direct actions. He then took brutal action against the Buchan area as punishment for opposing him. In the so-called harrying of Buchan, Bruce's men destroyed homes, food and livestock, and they killed many Comyn supporters. Bruce also had plans to win control of the south of Scotland. During the Northern campaign, Bruce sent some men, including his brother Edward and also Sir William Douglas, to the south to fight Comyn supporters. They won control of Douglas Castle in June 1308. Bruce's next step was to take control of the Western Isles and also gain revenge for his earlier defeat at Dalry. In August 1308, Bruce's men challenged and defeated the MacDougalls at the Battle of the Pass of Brander, and this won them control of Dunstaffnage Castle. Bruce now had control of Scotland. He had defeated many of his enemies and forced them to join his side. Others gave him their support for fear of being attacked or having their lands taken. And in March 1309, King Robert held his first official parliament at St Andrews. Bruce received recognition as Scotland's king from the French king, and Bruce was also given the support of Scotland's bishops in the Declaration of the Clergy. The bishops again also reiterated Bruce's forgiveness for the common killing in Dumfries. Although some nobles still resented Bruce, the Scottish Civil War was largely over by 1309. Bruce's next plan was to challenge the English presence in Scotland and win back control of the areas that they controlled. King Edward II sent an army north, but they had to retreat to Berwick during the winter of 1309 into 1310. Bruce himself led several raids into the north of England, and he refused to fight the English in a major open battle. The inability to capture and stop the Scots generally confirmed Edward II's weakness. Over the next few years, Bruce and his men, notably William Douglas, Thomas Randolph and Edward Bruce, would win control of various Scottish castles, including Dundee in early 1312, Perth and Dumfries in 1314, and Edinburgh and Roxburgh in early 1314. By early 1314, there were only two major castles remaining in English hands, Stirling and Berwick. Stirling was to be handed over to the Scots by Midsummer Day 1314 unless England acted. King Edward II was under huge pressure from his nobles to take action against Bruce and the Scots, and so he sent a huge army north.